This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Once he was the conquering war hero of Iraq, Afghanistan, and Capitol Hill. General David Petraeus, former CIA director from 2011 to 2012 and former Iraq and Afghanistan commander, made a much more humble visit to the Senate Armed Services Committee on Tuesday. After apologizing for his lapses in judgment that resulted in an extramarital affair that might have compromised national security, he moved on to discuss something equally obvious. Syria, he said, is not doing so well these days.
Syria today, Mr. Chairman, is a geopolitical Chernobyl, spewing instability and extremism over the region and the rest of the world. Like a nuclear disaster, the fallout from the meltdown of Syria threatens to be with us for decades. And the longer it is permitted to continue, the more severe the damage will be.
General Petraeus, with his doctorate from Princeton in a crisply laundered uniform, went on to tell the senators that he would advise proceeding with caution.
I do not make recommendations for any kind of military action lightly. But inaction can also carry profound risks and costs for our national security. We see that clearly today in Syria. And Russia's recent military escalation in Syria is a further reminder that when the U.S. does not take the initiative, others will fill the vacuum.
Is a confrontation with Russia the only way to prevent the situation in Syria from getting worse? Major General Paul Eaton trained the new Iraqi army from 2003 to 2004, retired from the army after 33 years of service in 2006. Eaton says that in part due to a failure to achieve goals during the years when General Petraeus was in command, there are very limited options in Syria right now.
Well, John, at the end of the day, we've got a huge political problem that we have not addressed, must address. And it's a political solution that's going to get the final outcome here. Right now, the Air Force is doing what it does very well. It's providing close air support. It's doing so without the forward air controllers that that we'd like to apply on the ground, the JTACs. They're still accomplishing a lot, but not to the degree that we would like to be able to walk away with. As far as the political solution, you know, we've seen the Russians enter the game right now. We have seen a change in the prime minister. The problem child of al-Maliki has gone away. We've got al-Abadi in, who may attempt to reverse the disenfranchisement of the Sunni population that is really at the root of this entire problem that we have. There are things moving, but we have not achieved a comprehensive, overarching political solution to the problems of the area.
You trained the Iraqi army from 2003 to 2004. And I suspect you had better results than whatever they did to train the Syrians to fight Bashar al-Assad. I guess something like $500 million, and they only got five people to actually fight. It seems to me that you have even less to deal with, to work with in Syria than you have in Iraq.
John, from my perspective, you've got to start with viable units and that exist now, from populations that will create an armed force that that does trust its chain of command and its political institutions. That will attract Syrian citizens to come into, and you can build them into small units. We've done this before in Korea, where you develop small units of Syrian citizens and grow them in the fabric of a viable ground force that that can fight today. And right now, we're trying to develop independent Syrian units. And from my perspective, that's simply not going to work. It's too early for that.
Won't that create more sectarian problems in Syria if we rely on the Kurds to save the day?
Well, it can. But I trust the Kurds to do the right thing. My experience with the Kurdish leadership, they will do the right thing. Their units right now, the Peshmerga, are viable units. They are trustworthy men, and I believe that they will do the right thing.
David Petraeus, of course, with considerably less credibility, was on Capitol Hill yesterday. Most of that, of course, due to his personal lapses that he apologized for. But I'm just wondering if this entire experience over the last 4 years has just utterly discredited the counterinsurgency theory that, you know, he was selling to anyone who would listen, that all you needed to do was to wander in to Syria and make some friends and win a few hearts and minds, and everything would grow from there. It seems to me that, forget his personal lapses, Petraeus is completely discredited today as a strategist.
There is a place in military strategy for counterinsurgency operations. Some places are a little bit more, some environments are a little bit more difficult than others. We have a problem, and it is an insurgency. And we have got to isolate it, we've got to contain it, and then we have to kill it. The big problem that we have and the big issue that we have failed to address in the past is to install a viable government that will work, that will earn the respect of the citizens to be governed. And that has been the great failing. It is a hugely expensive enterprise that we in the United States have tried to address with the military alone and have failed to address with all the other components of national power that the United States and our allies can bring to bear on the problem. What we have right now, particularly with the immigration crisis in Europe, is a call to arms to the Europeans to go to work and solve a problem that is at their back door. Turkey is a European nation that is astride the Europe and the Middle East zones. And it is the Europeans who have got to come in with with all the components of national power to help solve the problem that is really going to cause them future great problems.
Before we go, I just have to say, you know, General Petraeus describes this as a geopolitical Chernobyl that is getting worse by the day. You're describing that to even get started here, we have to install a viable political solution in Iraq. That means there needs to be a political solution in Syria as well if Bashar al-Assad is going to go. So we're two governments, two created from zero governments away from getting anywhere in Syria and Iraq. It seems to me that's, you know, way below base camp at Everest.
I will grant you that it's a very serious problem, and it is a very significant enterprise that that needs to be addressed. What we have failed to do, the collective, is recognize that there is one fellow who has an existential threat, and will behave as if he has an existential threat, and that's Bashar al-Assad. If we don't reconcile his situation, if we do not address the fact that Assad, he has nothing to lose. He will do whatever he can to ensure his existence. Failing that, he's going to go the way of Gaddafi. He knows that. So until we truly address the Alawites and Bashar al-Assad, there will be no solution. And that is the beginning of the Russian enterprise right now. The Russians are coming in. The Iranians are already there. At the end of the day, Iraq and Syria may not look the way they did 15 years ago. They may look like something completely different and governed in a way that that we may not be able to see right now.
Major General Paul Eaton trained the new Iraqi army in 2003 and 2004, retired from the U.S. Army after 33 years of service in 2006. Thanks so much, Major General.
John, my pleasure. Thank you very much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.